Welcome to the Image and Glory Conference 2025. Open your heart to receive the words of righteousness declared to equip us against the words of darkness. Hearken to these holy words and be empowered to rule and reign.
Let me start by thanking Jesus once again for the privilege he has given to me to be here with us, for fellowship with us. I'm not here because I'm more better. I'm just here because of the grace of God. I appreciate the grace of God that I found and who has counted me in the ministry. I want to thank Jesus for that mercy. It's not because of more righteousness, but just mercy. And I thank Jesus. Paul said that I've obtained mercy and has put me in ministry. Not firstly, the ministry of beholding, and secondly, the ministry of sharing. So those two ministries work concurrently. You cannot, largely will you have the ministry of beholding, especially in the first crop, that will not be a preacher. If you are not a preacher, because you are holding for mysteries, and because you are holding it and it's changing you, God will position you, even if it's in your place of work, in your family, you will be positioned to be able to bring forth blessing to the people of God. Because we're supposed to be salt, and supposed to be what? Light and salt nation in the midst of crooked and perverse nation, where we shine as light and where we salt him. And so nobody that is holding the ministry or beholding the mirror, beholding the glass, that will not somehow, somewhere stand, either be a salt and light. Those are things that the Lord was talking to me, Pastor. As I began to wait upon the Lord, I've been beginning to wait upon the Lord for next year. I spent time to pray to wait upon the Lord. For the Lord told me that's one of the essence of certain level of platform that is coming to us, and trust that we end up becoming light and salt nation, light and salt nation in the midst of crooked and perverse nation where we shine. You are a nation in nation. God went to Egypt to go and bring out the whole nation. Is have you ever heard one day that a nation is born in one day? God gave birth to his nation in one day. He went to Egypt and go and bring a nation. But the first time God did what he did in Egypt, he went to all the Chaldees and bring out a man. I'm promising that God to make him to a nation and multiply him. A big amen? Amen. That is Genesis 11 and 12. He went to a nation to take one man. Say, and he promised that the promising, I will make you into a great nation. A big amen. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And he blessed and said, so we multiply thee. Later he kept on saying, then the next time God is coming for that one, he went to a nation to go and bring out his own nation. He took out from his own nation, I think, 5 million people. He went to remove 5 million people. It was a whole nation he took. So just like what he did to Abraham, he went to go and do it, and not to one person, he went to go and do it. The Bible says with an unstretched arm. So and that nation, by the time you get to Exodus chapter 19, he told them that all the nations of the earth am I, but you shall be unto me. You shall be unto me. So after 3 months, God brought them out. He said, see, look now therefore what I've done to what I've done to you. From that verse 3, you are seeing what I did to Dishan, and I bore you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, that you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. That some people, that all people, you say all nations, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. A big amen? Amen. I can hear you say a big amen. Amen. So you can see that God specialized. So that one of the things God is doing, so cannot be holding for the ministry of beholding, firstly, his mirror, which is his word. A big amen. Yeah. And his mirror leads to the ministry of his face. A big amen. You need a ministry of his mirror. The ministry of his mirror is the ministry of the water. The ministry of the face is the ministry of the spirit. A big amen. Or the ministry of the mirror is the ministry of the word. Whereas the ministry of the face is the ministry of the spirit. It's word and spirit. A big amen. under you. So the ministry of the word is the ministry of the mirror. So that's why you saw that from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the last three verses to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the upper one was, they were talking about the ministry of the mirror. The ministry of the mirror. And eventually, they began to gradually, by the time you get to chapter 4, they move into the ministry of the spirit, which is the ministry of the face. So you migrate, which is the word, to the face. A big amen. So it's very, very important for us to be able to navigate this concurrently. So if you are a person, that's why immediately you arrive at the point of beholding the mirror, which is the word of God. There's something you will serve. You can't be holding the word and you are not serving, because that's what Paul told in that Philippians chapter 2. He said, holding the word of life. Immediately you are holding the word of life in Philippians 2, something happened to you. You begin to be a light and a salt nation in the midst of crooked and perverse nation. I know our nation is corrupted. That's why God is eager not just to have people that have knowledge or the people that have precepts. God wants to make sure we are a people that have word. And why is it necessary? Ministry of the word is ministry of the mirror. And the mirror is that you see. You see the ministry of the word. And you don't forget man or person you are. And you obey. And when you're going to be, you prepare yourself to move into the ministry of the face. And when you move to the ministry, you're still changing from glory to glory. A big amen. So another word for the ministry of the face, the ministry of glory. A big amen. Amen. A big amen. Amen. Let's have it, sir.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for even its time. Even its time. Even it's the time. Even it's the season. Even is the season, even is the time. Oh, it's the time for even that ministry to be open more. Even for that ministry, even the ministry of my word and of my spirit to be open more, to be unveiled. Even to be granted even many access to come see it, even to see even more clearly, even more clearly. Even that ministry will be enhanced even in this season. For because I want to raise a generation, even a people of righteousness, even a people of righteousness. And so I've come even this morning, even to heighten that ministry, even to exalt the ministry, even to amplify that ministry. It's the ministry of the Son. It's the ministry of the Son. Is the ministry of the Son, even the ministry of the word of the Son and of the unveiling of the face of the Son. For even the season where the Son is speaking, it's the season of the Son speaking. It's speaking. For I want to bear through you. Even I want to speak again through you, my servant. Even I want to bear your things, even concerning that face again through you. I want to speak forth. Oh, I want to speak. It's me. Even it's me that I've come. Even to speak. I want to speak again. I want to speak again. I want to speak again, even to emphasize things that have been spoken before, even to lay emphasis, even on things that have been brought forth, but much more, even to move the assembly, even to move my people to come, even come into spheres where they can begin to behold clearly, even behold clearly. For even that spirit of liberty is here again. Even that spirit of liberty is here again. Even that spirit of liberty is here again. Even to grant you access and to give you liberty in the spirit. Even to speak concerning the things that I have put in your heart. Even the things that I have communicated to you before. For there is liberty even for you to speak. Speak freely. Speak freely. Speak freely. And bless my people. See you the Lord.
Hallelujah. So I was just saying that I thank Jesus for where all of you people occupy in the program of the latter time. It's not latter days. We are no longer like latter time days. We are not in latter times. The latter days started in the day of Jesus Christ, the last day, the end of latter, and the last time began. We are not in the latter time of the latter days. But the love is the, we have more incorruptibility within us. In the name of Jesus. A big amen. I think this is not my thoughts, but that's not what I wanted to share. But I feel I should start from there. Since by the help of the Spirit, my heart moved to the place, I just feel I should start from there. And let me see if I will connect. Where the thing is the Son of God and the reign of righteousness. So I was saying that we are in the time of the Son of God, the Son of God. Is come, and the Son of God is coming, or the Son of God has appeared and is appearing. And I said two major ministries of the Son of God to us is the Son of God is the ministry of the mirror of the Son of God and the ministry of the face of the Son of God. Those two ministries are what the Son of God has, the ministry of the mirror or the ministry of the glass and the ministry of the face. So, the ministry of the mirror is the ministry of the word of God. Say the word of God. I can't hear everybody. And the word of God, which is the ministry of the word of God, is very, very important if we are going to migrate into the second ministry, which is the ministry of the face. So the ministry of the word of God and the ministry of the face. The ministry of the face is majorly the ministry of the spirit. It's the ministration of the spirit. A big amen. And I said that 2 Corinthians from chapter 2, the last verse, the last three verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 14, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Say, cause us to triumph. Can you say it better, God's people? Cause us to triumph in Christ. And make manifest. Can you see? Cross us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So Christ here is not Christ as a perfect man. Christ here is not Christ as a perfect man or Christ as a new creation. But yeah, Christ, yes, Christ as Christ as the Son of God. This is Christ here. So this Christ here, he said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge. So his knowledge of Christ here is not Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 3, it's not Christ a measure. Say that, church. Everybody me saw that dead jaw. It's not Christ a measure, but Christ the fullness. So not Christ measure, because there's a Christ a measure. That means when they are still measuring Christ to you, there's a measure. They call it measures. But it's a Christ that's a fullness. So Christ a measure is called a perfect man. Where Christ the fullness. It's called the perfect man. There's a perfect man and there's the perfect. There's the perfect. with Paul, say, when the perfect is come, but there's a part, but there's the perfect, a part and the perfect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is it 13? Yeah, 13. 13, 9, there's a Christ, a part. I see in part. I understood in part. Eh? I speak what I understood in part. I see in part. I what? And I thought in part. But there's the perfect. When the perfect is come, so we come. We don't just arrive at the perfect. The word perfect means the fullness. Say the perfect is the fullness, or the complete, or the whole. Like Paul said to a church, I've not neglected to show unto you the whole counsel of God. But the whole counsel of God don't just come at once. They start it in part. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 said, in part. We know in part. We see in part. We understood in part. We taught in part. Those are part. But you're supposed to arrive at the fullness, or at that which is the perfect need to come. And so the beautiful thing is that we are now in the season of the perfect. The perfect is come. The perfect is the coming of the Son of God. A big amen. So the ministry that we are experiencing now is the ministry of fullness, or the ministry of perfect. That would bring out the perfect. A big amen. So in that 2 Corinthians 2, that verse 49, thank be unto God, which always caused us to triumph in Christ, and made manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God. Are you seeing? We are unto God. That means this word God. And God, the ministry of the God, is the ministry of the Son of God. Who is ministering for God is the Son of God. A big amen. A big amen. A big amen. When I say who is ministering for God, the Son of God, is referred to, he who is ministering on behalf of God is the high priest. The essence of the high priest is to minister the things of God. Say that, church. Melchizedek is both a Christ and is both a minister of God, because they call Melchizedek the priest of the Most High God. A big amen. He's a priest of the Most High. So he ministered things of God that are high. A big amen. But he's also a king of righteousness. And it's a king of peace. Say, a king of righteousness, king of righteousness. And a king of peace. King of peace. Say that again. So, well, who is the king? For it's the glory of the Lord to conceal the thing. It's the honor of the king to search them out. So a king, for him to be a king, he's searching out things that God concealed. So he's a king of righteousness and as a priest of the Most High. So as a priest of the Most High, he's ministering things of God. Say of God. So Jesus. Jesus as Christ is ministering things of the new creation, and Jesus as the Son of God is ministering things of God. A big amen. Amen. A big amen. Amen. So things of God, Hebrew 5 call it things pertaining to God. Say things pertaining to God. That's Ephesians 5:1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men. These men are not ordinary men. These men are men that have been sanctified. These are not just common men. Or these men are not men that are grass, but men that are lively stone. So not men that are grass. Not men that are grass. High priests are not, they don't come to minister to men that are grass. The ministry of the high priest are for men who are lively stones. Men that are lively stone. So that will, and so what you minister to lively stones are things pertaining to God. Things of God. And I said, the things of God, which the Son of God has come to minister, are the Son of God has the Word of God, and the Son of God has the face of God. Say, the Son of God has the Word of God and the power and the face of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Just to establish that, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. So, you see, the Gospel of John, from verse 28. Jesus said, bear me witness that I said, this is what John talking, that I am not the Christ, but he that I am sent before him. Give me together. I would like to have 2-3 verses together. He that have the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who standeth and heareth him. So heareth him. So him there is the owner of the bride. He's speaking. And so friends of the bridegroom hear the voice of the bridegroom. And the bridegroom is the owner of the bride. A big amen. Rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So the friends of the bridegroom hear the voice of the bridegroom. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Exactly what this is John the Baptist. Exactly what Apostle John also said. For this thing I've written unto you, that your joy might be full. So John said he is a friend of the bridegroom. And that he heard the voice of the bridegroom, trying to tell him that he should speak to his bride. A big amen. But he must decrease, and I must, but he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is eclipsed and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Say his testimony. So his testimony there. So the bridegroom, who is the Son of God, has his testimony. But he not only has his testimony, a big amen. He has testimony and has said to his seal. I'm trying to say, so the Son has his testimony. The Son has his seal that God is true. But it not only has his testimony, it does not only have his seal. There, verse 34, he also has something. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. So you find in this scripture that the Son of God, or whom God has sent, or whom God has apostled, whom God has apostled, whom God speaks. God is the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. God, who has something time in diverse manner, speak in time past. Unto the Father, by the prophet or through the prophet. So God is speaking, but God allowed his speaking through the prophets. So the prophet are the mouthpiece of God. Say that, church. So when we say the Son of God, so in this last day, say that again. Say, at in this last day, spoken unto us by his Son. So we saw that the Son, what prophets of old used to do for God, God now has assigned, or what God used to do to the prophets, God has now assigned the Son to be the one to be doing that to New Testament ministers and New Testament ministers to the churches. A big amen. Amen. He didn't break that order. Even when the church became a candlestick, he didn't break the order. A big amen. A big amen. Amen. It's not only speaking because the church is a floor. Even when the church became a candlestick, which is a pillar, he's still speaking to the angels of the churches, which are the stars of the churches. He will never break the protocol that we grow up and as fathers in the church, and that we have young men in the church. He will still not break the order. He will still speak to the elders, to write to the fathers in the church. Because you need to do that, which Pastor Dimeji was teaching us yesterday. Sorry, Pastor Tosin. You need to keep every man under subjection. Because the elders are under the subjection, under the Son of God. So it's not only when we are made covenant, maybe we now have people that are already priests. We are going to have, gradually having priests in our churches. And a time will come, maybe, maybe a time will never come, we never have the poor ministers or those who are, because it's a church, people will be coming. People will be coming. So at the time will come that you can look at the whole congregation and you have thousands, millions that are priests, but that will never mean that they will boycott the constituted order. A big amen.
Amen.
Because those authorities who are being heaped up in their authority to the head of the church. A big amen.
Amen.
So what God was talking, or God used the prophet as his mouthpiece for him, but God is no longer speaking. Or everything God intends to speak, he has spoken it and used it to raise the sun. That's the best one. God have exhausted everything he wants to speak. God have exhausted all the testimony he wants to bear witness, because he's God that bear witness and bear record. 1 John 5. So all the word that God wants to speak, all the testimony God wants to give, and the seal, God deliver all of them in the sun. So the sun at the word of God. That John will read to you. But so they put it in arrangement. He will have received his testimony. He doesn't have testimony. He received testimony from God. The Son has also said he see that God is true. The Son has testimony. The Son has his see. The Son did not only have that, he also been sent to speak the word of God. So the word of God, I said, for God had not given the Son spirit without measure unto him. A big amen. A big amen. A big amen. So the God did not only give the Son what the prophet was doing. So God made sure that he emptied the word of God to the Son. To Jesus. Let me use the word Jesus. And also, the Father also gave him spirit. That was spirit there. It's not just Holy Ghost, but everything that the Father is, he gave it to the Son without measure. God did not measure to the Son. God gave to the Son without measure. He gave to the Son the fullness. A big amen.
Amen.
A big amen.
Amen.
And why? Because all this that God gave to the Son, the Word had them before. He had them when it was the Word. He had them. Why? When he emptied himself of all these things, a big amen,
amen,
and was born like a baby and grew by it as the Father was delivering things to him, he grew to receive all these things. A big amen.
Amen.
So the Father, the Son grew, Jesus grew to receive all this. He was this thing before, but he emptied them. Because to show the pattern of how God wants to generate, what God wants to born, how God wants to what begat the kind of a people for himself on the earth. So Jesus came to mirror the vision of God and embody it so that we can really know what God has in mind. When God said, let us make man our image after our likeness, add that the first Adam could not fully capture it. They had to send the last Adam to come and show us what it means. What is the real picture when God says his image and his likeness? We don't fully capture it. It took the Son of God and taking the Son of God to come and show it to us. So we can see clearly that the Son of God had the word of God. So he said, God had given unto him. So God, for whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God. Say words of God. He speaketh the word of God. So God had in this last day spoken to us in the Son. So it's in the Son. A big amen. In the Son. Or by the Son. Or through the Son. So God have given the Son. So the Son is a building of the word of God. Say that, church. Say that again. Because what the world does, the world is a building. You'll find out in the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 20. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And I told you, I said, grace and truth are forces of righteousness. They are powers of righteousness. So I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up. Say, build you up. So Jesus is a seal, is a building. Jesus was built. I wonder how for build me. He was raised. Jesus was built. Built up. The word of God built him up. I'm going to talk about the word of God here. I'm not just talking about precepts, which is knowledge. I'm talking about the substances of the word. The word which Hebrew 4 says is living. The word of God is living. That's how NIV put it, or is quick and powerful. And they said the word has two parts to it. It has two edges, or it has two sides. The word has two sides. That two sides of the word, Peter, 1 Peter 2, said, that two sides of the word is delivered and abided. It's a two-edged sword. Two-edged sword. Living and abiding. Living and abiding. Living and abiding. A big amen. Amen. So Jesus started what? Receiving the word of God. I want to believe. By the time Joker was at age of 12, they already gave him the word of God. Because you find out what Joker said when he went to Jerusalem. Don't you know I must be after my father's business? What Joker called his father's business in that place, he served before the Pharisee and the lawyer as they taught him the word of God. Under the heavy supervision of the Holy Ghost. Under the heavy supervision of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, Holy Ghost was there to sift things out. Things that Holy Ghost felt that Joker does not need. When those teach of the law, our Bible says also say, as his tradition and his custom was, he go to the synagogue at every Sabbath. A big amen. Amen. So he told them, when they say, son or child, we are and our father have been looking for you. He said, don't you know I've been after my father's business? So at the age of 12, Jesus Christ was already gradually being introduced to the father's business. And the father's business is the word of God. To the church. When they say, what's your father's business? The father's business is the word of God. The word of God is the word of God. And the word of God is a two-edged sword. Or he has two divisions. And that two divisions of the word of God is that he was, according to Peter, he said, he liveth and abideth. Liveth and abideth. Liveth and abideth. But in Hebrew 4, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word of God is the archive of righteousness. The word of God is the archive of the righteousness of God. But the word of God is the archive of the righteousness of God. No man can know what is right until the ministry of the word of God is open to him. So give me that 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that we are reading, that from verse 15 again. Then I will read it and stop and come back. I will read it from that 2 into 3 for you to see it. Now thank be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and may manifest the savor of his knowledge unto us in every place. For we are unto God a savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that are perished. Can you see? Both in them that are saved and in them that are perished. It's a savor. Imagine a thing that can treat those who have been perished and who can treat those who have been saved. Those are that thing has power. Both those who are perishing and those who are being saved. He will advance those who are being saved, and he will deliver those who are perishing from their perishing. A big amen.
Amen.
Amen. To the one, we are servant of death unto death, and to the other, the servant of life unto life. To those who are perishing is to keep things in them, and to life to them. And who is sufficient for these things? So it's a two ministry for these things. Who may sufficient for this thing? For we are not as many. So what was describing there? The big amen. Eh? What he called knowledge, that is supposed to move from knowledge to the word of God. He said, what he called those ministers that were describing from that verse 14. He called it, who is sufficient for this thing? For we are not as many. Want to go? Want to go, everybody? Eh? Who is what? Corrupt the word of God. Let me pause it. Those who corrupt the word of God. How can the word of God, he said, to what? Death to those who need to die. Because it's a sword. And lie for life. Life unto life. So, because those who are already saved, they are in life. They need to move life unto life. They journey in life. And those who are perishing, that perishing, they are perishing. They need to destroy that perishing. They are dying, but they must die to that death. So the word of God, that ministry called the ministry of the word of God, has potency for that. That's why if someone is perishing, what he needs is the word of God. If someone is living, what he needs is for that word of God to come into more life. These are the things that is in the Son of God. So, can you see? So, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. That sincerity means unfeignedness. And as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. There, that is what led to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's talking about the ministry of the word of God. Do we again begin to commend ourselves or winning? Because this thing we're not written in chapter before. They broke it for simpler understanding and for references. A big amen. And some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you. Ye are our epistle written in our heart, know and read of all men. For as we are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, minister by us, not by with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in the table of stones, eh? But what? But the fleshy table of the heart. A big amen. You cannot receive the ministry of the word of God from the Son of God if you are not yet a lively stone. That ministry is not for grass. You must be a lively stone. So you can see, yeah, it's going to be like the people that can receive the word of God. The word of God are those who own fleshy tables of the heart. Say fleshy tables of the heart. I can't hear everybody. Say that again. What's the fleshy table of the heart? Fleshy table of the heart is what Ezekiel 36 declared, an heart of flesh. An heart of flesh. An heart of flesh, which means it's a building up. It's a table. An heart of flesh is arrived when you are at the end. You are at the peak of charity. It's the peak of charity. Charity towards God, not charity towards men. Because charity has two sides also. There's a charity towards men. Charity suffer long. 1 Corinthians. Charity suffer long, is kind and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity puffed not, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Can you say rejoiceth in the truth? Everybody saw that. From that place, who is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. So there's a child. Everything before these verses be is towards men. that one is horizontal. So that charity there is activity of new spirits on the heart of flesh. Because the new spirits are all those things. They are the law of what? The law of the life in Christ Jesus. It's charity, the new spirit. But they will heave up that charity. You must have done it to men. God, how can you say you love God? You are not saved, you have not loved men, you can see. So when law of charity is coming to you, loving people, God will only command you to love your brethren first. God will never command you to love him. It is the exercise of loving your brethren that you build muscle. That's why I like to call muscle. You build muscle, you build stamina to be to love God. To make your heart to love God. To begin to show sign of love God, you can. When someone has become born again, say, I love God. I love you. I love you. I love God. Say, okay. God shake his head. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, that's not about God. God know what you mean. God understand what you mean. But he know that you don't love him, but God understand you. If you understand, I try to say, God, how you see how my heart is looking for God. God, I understand you. But it's not what the language you're using to express is not really, but I understand you. No, because just like when your son, children are doing something and they're saying, say, okay, yeah, Junior, yes. You just want the old conversation. You just want him or her to grow. Just grow. Don't worry. Yes. Oh, yes. Daddy, you are the best daddy. Yes. It's true. Yes, it's true. You just want to encourage. You want to break that spirit. So that is who God is. He's a father. Say just okay, yes, you love me, okay, yes, I accept it, yes. The moment you say you love me, it's okay, let me love this brother. I can't. If you see his head, you are my God, you are good. God say, yes, I think so. But let me love this guy, let me love him. He's unloving because say, no, but you say you love me now, let me love him too. But you to exercise yourself like that, suffer long, and when you are suffering long, you are still kind. Yeah. A big amen.
Amen.
A big amen. So when you have done that, thank you, Pastor said, so that thing they call the bodily kindness. Then you move into the second lap of it. Because when you walk in love and you walk in love and you walk in love, it makes your heart open to love God. Because there are things that is in us that could not make us love God. We can't. Jesus Christ taught beautifully. I think it should be Matthew 13. Is it 13 or somewhere there? He said the first and the great commandment: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, all thy strength. You don't have might, so you need might to love God. So they use love for the brethren to start building that capacity in you. So thank you, Matthew 22. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So God specializes in loving thy neighbor. Which is, and your neighbor are your brethren. Are your brethren. They are your neighbor. So you need that place before you now go to, I love the word Luke. Luke was quoting directly. Luke 10, 27. And he answered then, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Let me look at the first and the great commandment. Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. So you can't move into that arrival point. You move into loving thy neighbor. So God will teach you to love. And that is that 1 Corinthians 13. Say 1 Corinthians 13. So charity suffer long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not our own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not iniquity. But rejoiceth in the truth. The truth is God. The truth is the Son of God. So, but you cannot arrive at that point. Then you start showing charity towards God. When you say, believe all things. Believe in all things. Open all things. Endure all things. Though assigned towards Christ. Christ as a person. The life of Christ. And towards God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things, the realm of all things have become new, but not only new. All things are of God. To bear all things. To bear all things. That, can you bear all things the way Christ bear things? Can you bear all things the way God bear all things? Can you endure all things the way Christ endure all things? Can you endure all things the way God endure all things? Give me that 2 Corinthians 13 back. Can you hope all things the way Christ and God hope all things? Like the elder brother was in the house. He could not hope for his brother's return. But the father was still hoping. Because that's the arrangement of the father. That's the arrangement of every man that have crossed into Christ. When Christ have been fully forming you. That thing, that when the Christ have been fully forming you, that's the man of man. That is Galatians chapter 5. Is it 5 or chapter 6, verse 1 and 2? That's Galatians 5. Is this? Yes, it says, brethren, if any be overtaken a fault, ye which are spiritual, you who are spiritual, restore such a one, or I want in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, let that also be tempted. Then bear ye one another's body, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So when a man is Christ, this is righteousness. Because there's a righteousness of the law. See that, church? But it's a righteousness fulfilling the law of Christ. So the law of Christ is righteousness of Christ. So you can see. So when you are like this, you are become a living stone. Then when you are like that, you need to do that and then all things. Open all things. Eh? Believe it all things. Say believe it all things. That's why when you move into the speaking of the Son of God, you start with believing. John chapter 3, 6, 15 and 16. He that believeth, he that believeth, he that believeth, he's believing. When John was writing in Gospel of John chapter 20, in that in believing you may believe. Because that you must have been practicing that thing with charity. That when they begin to speak to you, that John 20, and many other signs, John chapter 20, 30 and 31. This thing, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. There's something that's not written. And you are expected, but because what are written, you have exercised yourself very well. Even when everyone is saying what you cannot, that day, this you're able to believe it too. Which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus, well, Jesus what? Say it very well. Jesus is the Christ, but it's not just the Christ, comma. The Son of God. Jesus is the Christ, comma, the Son of God. They are not just repeating the same thing. They are talking about two estates in the spirits. They are talking about the two buildings that is in this being. That Jesus is the Christ and Jesus is the Son of God. So for you to begin to relate with the things of the Son of God, you must be in the world of open all things. You must be in the realm of believing all things. You must be in the realm of enduring all things. You must be in the realm of bearing all things. A big amen. Amen. Paul was talking in the, and that's what Christ, end of Christ, want to make you. Christ, Paul was talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For when I come to you, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babe. Eh? But as unto babe, as unto carnal, even as unto babe. I have fed thee with meat and not with meat. For it hath to want to be everybody. Everybody. You cannot bear it. It's not even hurting. Just bear it. Let alone bear all things. Also, give me Hebrew 5. It's Hebrew 5 again. So they want to push you with things of Christ on to move you where you come to, you ask elasticity to bear all things. That's when you will start receiving the word of God, the ministry of the Son of God. Because we are talking about the Son of God and reign of righteousness. The reign of righteousness is not for boy. There's a frame your heart must be. That's what I'm trying to labor, quickly labor, before we enter to the full ministry of the Son of God. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Of whom we are meant to say, this concern is concerning the sin of the Son of God, the Melchizedek, the high priest. Because I said the high priest minister what? Minister things pertain to God. And I said, it starts with, first of all, the knowledge of God, which is the priest, and move to the word of God. And then from the word of God to his testimony and what to his seal. That gospel of John chapter 3, 34. Is it 33 and 34? So those are the things that the Son of God asked. And in those things is the ministration of righteousness given. Which I also call, I said the word of God is called the mirror or the glass and the face, which is the spirit. A big amen.
Amen.
Look at Hebrews chapter 5. Of whom we are meant to say and are to be altar. See, you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teacher, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of God, and have become as such a needed meek and not strong meek. For everyone that uses meek is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meek belongeth to them who are full day, even to those who are by reason of use have their sense exercised to discern both good and evil. A big amen.
Amen.
It's John 16. Thank you so much. I have many things to say unto you. This also Jesus. Not only Peter. Not only Paul. Unto you. But you cannot bear them. Say, bear them now.
Bear.
No, you can't bear them now, but you bear them later.
Amen.
Because we are going to do a work in you that will make you to be able to bear them.
Amen.
So you can see the training of having a heart of flesh with new spirits is to cast this heart and prepare the heart to be able to receive an heart and to become true charity to man and eventually charity towards God and his things, to move into a realm of bearing all things, enduring all things. And the man that can do that, man, is a charity man, Christ. Not Christ that is using faith, not Christ that is in hope, but Christ that is in the end of the commandments. Charity, out of a pure heart and a good conscience, and faith on faith. So that you can, because nobody give the sword to a child. You don't even give a knife to a child, let alone a two-edged sword. And that's the ministry that the Son of God carries. That's the word of God. That word of God is the archive of righteousness of God. And that was the labor of Paul. That's the archive. That's where the righteousness of God, righteousness for dominion. Righteousness for dominion. Dominion. Dominion over sin. Say that, church.
Dominion over sin.
Say,
dominion over sin.
A man can be free from sin, but he has not yet get dominion over sin. So Christ make you free. But he tells the word of God. It's in the seat of the word of God that dominion over sin is given. The word of Christ make you free. Or the word of Christ will bring you into liberty. But what carry dominion? Where dominion is in the word of God. It is the season of the word of God that delivers dominion over sin to you. So let's move forward. So you can see, when a man has developed capacity within the soul to bear all things, through charity. That's why we never stop preaching charity. Neither we stop seeing that you love one another fervently with a pure heart. We will not. Because each time we preach it and you exercise yourself, you develop capacity more. You can bear more. You can endure all things. The more you have that word of bearing all things, endure all things, bear all things, open all things. That thing must keep, it must be elasticity. It must never be ending of it. When they stretch elasticity and it can bear it, then they will go like that. It will do for a while and load this and now expand it again. Because God, what you want to take a thing pertaining to God. You want to receive the word of God. You want to receive the testimony of God. And you want to receive the seal of God that is true. Which is the crown. For any. So you will never stop bearing all things. Neither are we going to stop hoping. When they start with you hope, when you realize what God wants to deliver to you, you find another hope again. Who open against hope? Say that again. You keep hoping against hope. When you have an hope, you walk towards that hope and you attain it. You find another hope again. You keep hoping. Because eternal life is an hope. Say that, what you're saying. Reward is a hope. You do the works and arrive in everlasting life and now hope for eternal life. And you will patient hope for it, wait for it. A big amen.
Amen.
So when that capacity is ready like that, they open you up. So as he was saying in that 2 Corinthians 2, that we are servants of knowledge. We are servants of knowledge, both to those who are saved and those who are perishing. So in this season, God is God. So God opened his of knowledge to you. When it's time to receive things pertaining to God, things that pertain to dominion. Because things pertaining to God are things of dominion. Say that, church. When you see Genesis chapter 1, when God was declaring the thing, he made the sun to rule by day. And the sun and the moon to rule by night. When he moved to man, he says, you have dominion over the sea, over the things that creep it. He was dominion. So God is a dominion entity. So that's why everything of God are dominion driven. And dominion. Well, that is a dominion. When you hear the word kingdom means dominion. That's a dominion. A big amen.
Amen.
A big amen.
Amen.
So, but dominion does not just start. So, Paul said from that 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 2, he said, the servant of his knowledge, which also Colossians chapter 1 from verse, is it 10? Colossians 1 or 9, either 9 or 10, for now, 10. Oh, give me 12 or 11. Okay, strengthen with all might, according to his gross power, unto all patience and long suffering. Can you see these are speaking of charity. All might, I got this God's power unto all patience. Those are all things for crossing over. All patience. That all patience there. Ephesians rendered 1 Corinthians 13 render it open all things because it's the patience of hope. That's how Thessalonians render it. All patience there is open all things. That open all things is in all patience. When you read Thessalonians, you'll find it. That's how Thessalonians read it. Remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the sight or in the presence of God. God is observing you. And our Father. So to bring about the soul, for the soul to start handling the things of dominion. You don't handle dominion to a soul that is a soul that is not wired like this. A soul that you can give little dominion to and is running away to go and do his own agenda. Strengthen with all might according to his gross power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father. Look at it. Eh? Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet. That means he has made us qualified. We now have things that qualify us. So all those things that he mentioned, all patience, all long-suffering, all joyfulness, but what working word of the Lord into all pleasing is what brought us to this junction where we can receive the trust of dominion. It's a training that you must give to your soul. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. 13. Who are delivered us from the power of darkness. How did you deliver us from the power of darkness? In Christ. That is the essence of Christ's teaching. Deliver us. Say deliver us. That will deliver us. Will free us. Is to free us from the power of darkness. Which is also the ministry that they gave to Paul in Acts of Apostles chapter 22. To open their eyes. That's 26, but there's 22 also. To say the just one, that the God of our Father has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, eh? That thou should see the just one and should hear the voice of his mouth. You see, to know his will, that one is to the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. Then you move into seeing the just one. That is when you can see the manifestation. When the Son of God is come, you can see it. That is when you are ready to hear the voice of his man, which the Son of God is speaking in the New Testament. But you must also start with knowing his way. Then you move into seeing. Then into hearing the voice of the Son of Man. The voice of the Son of God. A big amen. A big amen. So who are delivered? So but Acts 26 said, who are delivered from the power of darkness? A man cannot be delivered from the power of darkness without the knowledge of his will. That is where the key of deliverance is. It's in the knowledge of the will of God. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and you walk worthy of the law, or you walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh and ungodly lusts. So the translator for the power of darkness. We cannot be translated from the power of darkness except the unleashing of the power of God through faith. Wherein righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Power of darkness. Everything that answers to sin, which is worldly lust. Worldly lust. And everything that answers to ungodliness. Worldly lust. So sin is called worldly lust. Ungodliness is souls that have not learned to be under the government of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When you say soul is godly, I mean that soul has come under the government. Say the government of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And how you know that your soul have fully come into godliness is what Pastor Tosin was saying yesterday. If you can stay under spiritual governments. What Pastor Tosin was saying yesterday is also what Galatians 4 was teaching about. Galatians 4 from verse 1. Galatians 4 verse 1. For now I say that the heir, as long as a child, differ not from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but must be under tutors, say tutors, and governors. So under governor, under what they call government, governance, they mean they say spiritual governments, and they say divine governments, or spiritual authority and divine authority. They are all governments. Peter also made the same thing. Some of you on the subject of government in Peter. A big amen. A big amen. A big amen. So he called them. So we have natural government, we have spiritual government, and we have divine government. Then all those things are lying to show. So how you know a soul, how you know your soul is becoming more godly? Because you cannot be under the government of the law of Israel life in Christ Jesus if you are not under a spiritual government of authority. You can't. How can you be under the government of the spirit of truth that want to set you free and make you free from the law of sin and death? Because what is not, it's not just you are free from worldly laws, which is sin, but can you be free from death? Essence of godliness is to heal, to start gradually healing you from death, separation. Separation your mind, separation your heart. Things that desire to separate you. Separating you for life. According to Ephesians chapter 4. Things that being separated from the life of God, or life that is from God. And a man will be separated from the life of God if he has not connected to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's my connection. It's the connection of my soul. My soul must be connected to that law. It's hinged on that law. And that law is what is governing that soul. That law started governing that soul. That's when you say that soul is becoming godly. It's under the government of the law of the spirit of life. And until you're under the government of the law of the spirit of life, you have not stopped death. Many Christians, they cleanse them, but they go back to die. When they start treating death, it's when you are under the government of the Lord. If by the Spirit we do mortify the deeds of the body, that we might live. A big amen. To be under the law of the spirit of life. To be under the government of the law of the spirit of life. So that they can start taking of death gradually. They can free you from death. To free you from death. Because you can be free from sin, but you are not under government to be free from death. Death, the jugular of death is tea on your soul. Say jugular. Say jugular. Break the jugular. But you can't break the jugular of death from the soul until you teach that soul godliness, which is law of his own life in Christ Jesus. Malachi 2 call it the law of truth. Because do I say grace and truth, the law of truth, but the law of truth upon the soul for freedom, free from death. You have not overcome death, but you are free from him. You can be free from death, where death is no longer exacting upon the soul. You, God still wants you to overcome death, but can you be free from it first? Just like you can be free from typhoid fever. You can be free from it. That means death hold on your soul has been broken off. By the reason of the law of the spirit of life in Christ. So, because another law is running you, it's the law of the spirit of life. So, they are gradually supplying life to the soul through instruction of righteousness and the commandment of righteousness, which you find a specifier in charity. Unto charity to men and to God. So give me that Colossians that we are reading again. Unto all patience, all long suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be in the end of the saints in life, who are delivered from the power of darkness, but look, has delivered us from the power of darkness, a big amen, and are translated all to the kingdom of his dear son. When Paul is talking like this, he's not talking about everybody. I deliver us, not I deliver you. Not I deliver us. That's not us, dear. Paul is talking about men that are obey and men that have been strengthened with might. So if you are reading this Bible, you must say, have I been strengthened with all might? Have I been strengthened? Have I demonstrated all patience? Have I demonstrated all long suffering? are five demonstrated all joyfulness. Because when they are, when you are going through that season, you'll be under contradictions. Things that will befall you, is that you have to show joyfulness in all these things. So you must examine yourself. So Paul was not just talking about to everybody, he was talking about men like him in the midst of the churches. He said at that season that they have been translated unto the kingdom of his dear son. So the kingdom of his dear son, when a man has been translated to the kingdom of his dear son, which means a man has moved into receiving the ministry of the Son of God. And now the Word of God. Say the Word of God. So the person that has been translated to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of their son is called, I started yesterday, they call them, they call me as a newborn babe. First Peter chapter 1, chapter 2 from verse 1. No, let's read First Peter chapter 1 from verse 22. Let me still rehearse the thought and connect it again. See, you purify your souls in obeying the truth. That truth means you have obeyed the law of the soul of life, or you have obeyed godliness. That truth, them, you have obeyed the lesson of godliness. Through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. When you can endure all things, you are a fervent believer. You are fervent. Fervent is not only when you can pray. I like people that pray very well. I have one brother, when he's praying, he will cut, he will bend down. I like to pray with such people. I don't like people to. I don't like that. I like people that push on. Even if you don't want to pray, you feel like praying. Pastor, that you need to be like that in my house. Before he married and moved to his house. Capture. I heard that he learned that from daddy and mommy. He's just pacing everywhere. Me, I come down. Maybe the night to just say, maybe if I can do my little. I say, oh Lord, God help me. Oh, this boy will soon overtake me. Oh. Yeah. Spoil one another. But not just, don't only be fervent in prayer, be fervent in love for one another. It takes fervency for you to be able to be patient with your brother. Because if they tire, as a pastor, somebody are trying to help, and the person starts accusing you for helping them. Yes, sir. Fighting. Start accusing you. And sometimes you can just look. And sometimes when you have given up, you say, I think that there's nothing I can do for you again. I've said that to people. I say, I'll try. There's nothing I can do again. Because now you're starting accusing me and accusing my wife. I say, no problem. There, you are in your house, on your bed. And you're just praying, my God, so Maka, Lord, I commit my heart to you, Jesus. Oh, Son of God. I want to live for you, Jesus. Shut up, Thompson. What do you say? I can't hear you. I want to live for you, Jesus. Look, so I want to live for you, Jesus. I want to live for me, Jesus. And that my daughter. Call your phone right now and say, you know, I love you. Say, but you know, God, I love her. I love her. You know my heart, my love. I'm beloved. I love. I didn't say you love, but say it to her. And you carry the phone and say, come what may. No matter what you are doing and you are still doing, I want you to know that you are ever being loved by me and Mama Dupe. There's nothing that can do, because many water cannot quench love. And that is my flaw. And he replied with just an emoji. But that is meant to be, that you have to be far, you are far fed in spirits. That spirit there is charity. He's the spirit of the new man. Far from the spirit. Look at Romans chapter 12. Now, not slothful in business, far from in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuous instant in prayer, and distributing the necessity of the. You must be fervent in this thing. Giving to. You must be fervent in it. You have to be. Let's have it, sir.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I perceive in my spirit that the Lord is speaking to some set of people. And the Lord is demonstrating what you need to do right now. What you need to do right now. What you need to do to end that strife. What you need to do to end that wrong fire. What you need to do to chase Satan away. What you need to do to protect even that your brother. What you need to do to shield that person. Kalime Shevaranamo Sepalia. Vunamantasilia. As long as you stand on your right, that person will be exposed to spirit. That person will be exposed to spirit. Shift from your stand and come towards my side. Come towards my stand with me. Take my stand. Take my stand. Take my stand. Move from what is right in your own eyes. Take my stand. Take my stand and come into life. Take my stand and come into life. See, the Lord is not even about the person. It's about you. I want to bless you. I want to expand you. I want to stretch you. I want to lift 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 you. So take my stand. Obey my instruction. Obey my instruction. See, the Lord, you have kept it for a long time, but you have done nothing about it. But I'm bringing it to you again. I'm bringing it to your mind again. And it's coming to you afresh. End it now. Get it done. Get it done and come into that door that I've opened for you. Come into that door that I've opened for you. That is the key to entrance, even for you, saith the Lord.
Amen. Amen. So give me that first Peter one back quickly. Okay, so being born again. So if you look at it, being born again. Of not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abided forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the field, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord, which is also the incorruptible seed, endureth forever. And this is the word whereby the gospel is preached unto you. Then verse 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, lay aside. When you will translate you into the kingdom of his dear son. Wherefore, lay aside all malice, all God. And look at his realm of awe. Because now the training, when the season of enduring all things, you are being empowered to be able to deal with all things that are malice. This malice, so you know, sometimes the church, it's not like you're not having malice. It's not like there's a black malice. That's obvious that you have malice. But it's a malice where you are not just gelling, you know. You are greeting, hey, Sister Dupe or something. And, you know, but it's not deep. There's just that brief thing. Maybe the person have done it again and again and again. Oftentimes, your heart has become cold. But you have become cold. You are dealing. How do you relate with outsider? You are using it to start relating with the law, bro, in neighbor. You deal with those who are there with the wisdom. Yes, sir. So deal with those that with wisdom. Yes, that's I mean. Yeah. Deal with them with that. Well, with wisdom, you started using that, dealing with that, with that, and now using it for your neighbor. Yeah. You imagine your neighbor beside your right house, your left house, the one your front of your house, and the one whatever. That you are using what you used to deal with them that are in the market. Or that you're not using it to deal with your brand, those who surround you, your brethren. So, and what is making you to do that is because of you are moving to a more zone of it's good to be careful so that you don't offend brother. But that carefulness is not because you don't want to offend, but that carefulness is because you want to keep him on his lane. You want to keep yourself. A big amen. A big amen. So they call it all malice. You know, I don't know if you have it in this church. I think maybe every church has a particular brother that if you don't need Q&A, it's question and answer. Maybe they ask microphone, everybody will start laughing. Or a sister that you want to take microphone in church, everybody will start laughing. Do you have them in this church? You don't want to take microphone. You know, because the person, when he takes microphone, the way he will talk, we make everybody supposed to laugh. So you just know that don't give that microphone to that person. Don't give that microphone. You know, or it may be for different things. You just unspoken, but it's there. And oftentimes, what makes that sound? Because you can't endure them. You can't just bear them. And that is their body. Bear one another's body. So fulfill the law of Christ. So bear it. So give me, go back to that Peter 2. 2. What? We're laying off all malice, all guile, all hypocrisy and envy, and all evil speaking. God convicted me of this last week. This evil speaking. You can talk about your brother, but it's an evil speaking. It's evil. Oftentimes, what you are saying may even be true. Maybe truly the person have the issue. It's not a lie. You are not a liar, but it's evil speaking. Oftentimes, you are painting it to a brother that does not see that person that way. That's when you become evil. It's not two people that see the same thing and say, maybe, and after you're doing, you come together to come and agree and pray. But the person does not see like that. You see to be able to bring that person into that to see what that person is not seeing. That person is in no sense of that. So, though you are all these things must be as they are translating you. Say translating. It's a season of translation. I believe strongly that majority of us in our community, we are in that season of being translated. Not just delivering the power of darkness, translating to the kingdom of their son. And that season is a season of passage into the most holy. That's the season that's what the Son of God come to do finally in the sanctuary. To sit, to take, that's what the thing is looking into. Because in that place, you're going to be being born. You're going to go to your first birth as a new Bombay. And that thing is a transited you into the kingdom of his dear son. As new Bombay, this is not the sincere milk of the world. So the word of God, you can't take the seed yet. You can only take the milk of the word of God. So the milk of the world will start showing you all these things. And so the meek of the world is a kind of everlasting righteousness. they step it down to raise, to begin to give you sense. Because the milk of the world will give you sense of how to choose good and refuse evil. I wrote here, I called you, say, I wrote it here, I said, developing senses of righteousness. I've moved, second, my thoughts. I'm graduating my thought. I call it developing senses of righteousness. Developing senses of righteousness. So what they use to grow senses of righteousness of God, the beginning cause of it is the meek of the word of God. Give me Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah 8. But let's do with 7 first. Give me the first one. Before the child shall know, and the Lord himself shall give you a sign. No, this is a sign that shepherd watch out in local assembly. The Lord will give you a sign. This is a sign. You when you see it, a sign. If behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Joker was in this state. And when you are becoming a son, when you move into the kingdom of the son, of the kingdom of his dear son, this is our first thing you were supposed to come into. The king of his son. This is the first ministry that the son of God will give to you. A virgin that consider bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall eat. Want to go? That he may know. Say that now. Let me say that again. That he may know to refuse evil. So he said no. It's to know. It's a sense to know. That he may know to refuse evil and choose the good. Look at this. It's not just good. To refuse the evil and the good. It must be a son that know to refuse the evil. Because they cannot keep a son from evil. Or one of the essence of the ministry of the son is that you are going to be coming against evil. You are going to be, evil will be coming against you. Evil will come and tempt you. You are going to go through, you are going to go through evil. And when I say evil, the evil is not cutting people's head. Evil is corruption. Evil is deception. Evil is a promise of life that Satan have exalted. Evil is different from lust. Evil is different from godliness. And so they must start giving you sense of righteousness, and you need to develop it, developing senses of righteousness. So they give you the first allocation of the meek of the word that the Son of God has to offer. And is to know to refuse evil. That means you will start knowing evil. You must know evil. Not the way the tree of knowledge and good of evil teach men to know evil. You have discernments. You gain a sense that is spiritual. So though that you can refuse it, God, you are about to move into the more, into the world, into the word of God. So you need to gain discernment. Discernment. Discernment of what seems good to man, but is evil. You need to gain discernment of evil. For what sometimes what proceeds out of man, what enters into a man is not what defies a man. Evil are tint of defilements. Evil are things of defilements. Things that defy. Evil are things that corrupt. Evil are things that make a soul to fade away. They start with defiling you. They corrupt, they defy you. Sometimes you marry those thoughts. Look, when evil invaded garden, Adam, I'm ashamed because I found I was naked. Who told you? That thing is an evil. It was the evil. Who told you? Any being, anything that informed you of that thing is the evil. Because they were both naked and were not ashamed, they knew not it. But something makes them to know it.
Yes, sir.
A eyes, a sense developed. But rather than that, God, there's a way that God wants to use the milk of the world to grow that sense. He wants to use to grow it in the order of righteousness. Because that definition of sin to refuse evil, there's a way it must be a righteous lens. What do I call it? Righteous lens. The lens of righteousness. To know evil. To know the evil. This lens of righteousness. To know the good. God looked everything he created and said they were good. Even when he created man with that cloth, he said it was very good. That lens is righteousness. But that person also came to, he was naked, and said, I saw I was naked and I was ashamed. I hid myself. So what changed there? It was a discernment. A discernment that brings for interpretation of that state. It's a knowing that brings for interpretation. What God interpreted that thing is that it was different from how another lens that came and interpreted that state. Sometimes there are some states that you are. Evil interpret that state to you differently. For example, anytime you talk about suffering in the church, everybody clinch. And what makes everybody clinch is because of a sense that is evil. That is evil. But Jesus endure suffering all his life. For him to become perfect and became out of inner salvation, he was a son already. He went through more suffering. So his own sense and judgment of what is was totally different from what man called what man interpretation. So to have sense is to be able to interpret accurately. So righteous senses is also both discernment and judging matter. To judge a matter more accurately. To judge a matter accurately. To judge, because it was, when thy judgment is on the earth, the habitat of the earth will learn righteousness. So it's an installation of gradual installation of judgment apparatus. That is not everything. You grow in it. It's gradual, because what the meek of the world does is to begin to build your gradual seat of judgment. So that's what the meek of the world does. And that is what the word of God come to consolidate. So the ministry of the word of God is come to consolidate the seat of judgment of righteousness upon the soul. Or want to come and build it up further. Give me that Hebrew, you will see it. You will see that. What the meek of the world started, the word of God came to consolidate his authority further. Hebrew 4. The word of God is quick. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thought and intent of the heart, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eye of whom we have to do. So you see that the ministry from the meek of the word, which to make you to know, meek of the word, in that Isaiah 8, and the child, before the child know how to say, my father, my mother, he was but an only child, that he may know to refuse the evil and to choose good. Then you grow in that as a newborn babe. Then you are now ready to receive the first allocation of the word of God, which is the living. And in that, I said, what the word of God does is to rebuild the seat of judgment in you. Don't forget this thing. There's capacity for judgment. Building of the world is judgment. Let's see Job 22. Job 22. Let's see Job 22 from verse 21. Acquaint not thyself with him and be at peace. Receive good. Receive good. Hereby good shall come unto thee. Say good come unto thee. Good come unto thee. So he showed that you have arrived at peace with godliness. Semicolon. That is where good will come. Or the means of the Son of God will come to you. You must be at peace with him. You are at peace with God. This is also Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Being justified by faith, we are at peace with God. Then, when you are at peace with God, you assess good. You call good in that Ephesians chapter 2, whereby we have access to this grace wherein we stand. That grace is the good. So we have access to the grace. You have access to the economy of the both the meek of the world and the seed of the word of God. So having access to the meek of the word of God and access to the seed of the word of God, which is incorruptible seed. Receive. So when the good come, what is the good? Receive, I pray thee. They started from the upper echelon. The law from his mouth. But you can't receive the law. You have to start by receiving, lay his word. There is his word and there is his law. So you need to his law. I lay up his word in thy heart. So say lay up. Say lay up. The laying up of his word is the building of judgments. So the first thing you need is to gain judgments. Or to gain discernment, gain senses of righteousness. It must be a building. You know, in Isaiah chapter 33, the law is our lawgiver. The law is our judge. The law is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. So a king that can have dominion. But you have to journey through judgments. Because you cannot receive law from his mouth. What the season of the word of God does is to start preparing sense of righteousness, discernment of righteousness, judgment of righteousness. You want to know that building must start rising on the inside. Just like they do not put the law in the ark until the ark has been built. Give me Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. Who shall he take from you? See, when they are building, who shall he teach knowledge? And who shall he make to understand doctrine? Then that are weaned from the meek and drawn from the breast. From precept of people, precept. Present upon present, land upon line, here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherein you may cause the weary to rest. And this is refreshing that you will not hear. Is that you start with the word of God? But the But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, yea, little and there little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and be snared and be taken. Therefore, yet the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule these people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made covenant with death, and with air we had agreement, when the overflowing church of the Lord shall pass through, it shall not come near you, for we have made light our refuge, and falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus said the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a trial stone, a precious corner stone, a sure foundation, and he that believes shall not make haste. Look at what it says. Judgment also will I lay to the line. So the word of God, land upon line, please, it's judgment. So the beauty of the Son of God is firstly judgment, the word of God, judgment. Because you must ascend. That's why even in the hierarchy of government, God, judiciary is the third tier of governments. The second tier of governments are legislator, and the first executive are the first tier of governments, executives. So you need a base for the commitment of the law to you. Why sometimes people are saying God, people want the law of God to be written. But it doesn't happen like that. But have you allowed the word of God, the word of God, the place of discernment, the place of judgment, to start getting the sense that the word of God wants to do to the heart. You hear, that should be 1 Corinthians. I say, judge nothing before his time. 1 Corinthians 4:4. For I know nothing by myself. This is after Paul have talked about the ministry. In that ministry, chapter 4, he has talked about, we are not of them that handle the law of God deceivably. That's how chapter 4 started in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, this is the 1 Corinthians 4. But 2 Corinthians 4 was talking about adding the word of God. But the 1 Corinthians majorly was addressing the issue of Christ. It was a Christ epistle, 1 Corinthians. No, 1 Corinthians. For I know nothing by myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge not before the time until the Lord come. That means when the Lord starts, when the Lord come, the Lord we will see will come suddenly to this temple. What the Lord will bring first will be things of judgment to you. The Lord's coming. And how does the Lord bring judgment to you? The Lord breathes his word into your mouth. In his word. God. So you need those words. And that judgment is not that I'm judged. I judge you. I judge. No. Judgment is building you. It's raising you. It's your raising. But they raise you with thoughts of his word. So that when you see evil, you can know them. And when you see good, you can do. Like John, like Peter was crying in Romans chapter 7. There's a good that I could not do. There's a good I want to do good, but I can't do it. And why I can't do it? Because there's another law in my members warning against the law of God which is upon my mind. And then he said, thanks be to the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. So when they are delivering the word of God to you, you must make sure. That's why you must make sure that you don't undo the word of God deceitfully. That's why you must know God, when the word of God is coming, it's going to be showing you things. Because it's judgment. He's going to be showing you things. He's going to be showing things about your heart. He's going to be showing things about your mind. Because it's a mirror. You ought to behold yourself in a mirror and don't forget what manner of person you are. The sin of the world. God, the mirror is a judge. in the light of the word. Those things are righteousnesses. Because you want to say, if you hide any wicked thing in me, like search me and try me, see if there are any wicked ways in me. So you must allow the word, for how shall a young man make his way pure? By taking heed to your word. You have to take heed to the word. The word of God, when it's coming, that building of judgment within your soul. Judgment. You have laid up his word in your heart. Lay it up. For judgment shall be laid up like upon the lime. Lay it up. Keep laying it up. Keep laying it up. What you are laying up, righteousness is a layer. You lay it up upon each other. Until you become that which is good. And good shall come to you. So when word of God is coming to you, good is coming to you. The word of God is good. So that may learn to refuse the evil and choose the good. You will see it. Under a sound of the Lord that God has anointed. The word is spirit. The word is a kind of spirit. But that spirit is lower than law as a spirit. It's lower than God. Testimony is a spirit. But it's lower, but it's a kind of spirit. So when the word comes, it's a spirit, it's a spirit of judgment. Isaiah later to say, I give the spirit of judgment. This is a judgment, the spirit of burning and judgment. Which when the message of the covenant comes, it comes as a burning and judgment. Yes. Isaiah 4:4. When the Lord shall have washed away the feet of the daughter of Zion and shall have poured the blood of Jerusalem from the midst of her by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. I know burning can be referred to Christ, but there's also a type of burning, but a burning is an activity in the sanctuary that moves you forward into the most holy place everlasting. Yes. So you see that judgment. So when it's coming to you, it's in your building. It's in your purging. They are purging you. Building up. Making you. Raising the house. With judgments. Because habitation of God is an habitation of judgments. Habitation of his throne is the place of judgment. Isaiah 33:32, you find out. Habitation of his judgment. Habitation of his throne. Habitation of God is habitation of judgments. So if you have been the habitation of God, which Ephesians chapter 2, and Isaiah called it, that habitation is, look at it, Isaiah 86:89:14. Justice and judgment are habitation of thy throne. The habitation, the house, where the throne is there, is used with judgments. So it's judgment. So the word of God is an instrument of judgment. Instrument of judgment. It's also an instrument of truth. The word justice is truth, the parameter of truth. So, and these are all righteousnesses. And what that is after is to raise your soul to become habitation of God's throne. An habitation where God, the place of God's rest, can find. Because that's, you can have a habitation, but you need to not look for the place of his rest. Which is the place which Solomon called the place of the oracle. But they are righteousness. So, because immediately judgment is on your soul, you will begin to learn righteousness. For when your judgment is upon the head, the inhabitant of the head will learn righteousness. So there's no learning of righteousness when there's no judgment, when there's no discernment, when there is no senses of righteousness. You're learning of righteousness. And that's the labor of the word of God inside of you. That's why you must cooperate with the word of God to put the base of judgment upon your soul. So that you can learn righteousness faster and obey righteousness of God. Let me use the epistle to teach this thing quickly. So when you see John, newborn babe, they use speak of the word that they may grow thereby. That's 1 Peter 2. to grow thereby. I'll never be disaster maker of the world, that you might grow thereby. You grow thereby until you become little children. And so, as you grow into children, you now ready with their sister forgiving all those malice, all those things. Then, little children can receive the children that you can give the word of God to. The little children, little. When I say little children, they are not my little children of Galatia, which I traveled again in Bath until Christ before. This little children is not that same Galatia. This one are little children, that little children of the sons of God. Most holy children. And so when they begin to undo the word of God, the first layer of the word of God, a big amen. Amen. A big amen. Amen. When little children went through the milk of the word, their sins are forgiven them, and they now move to the seed of the world, something will happen to them. When you have judgment, your sin will be forgiven you for his name's sake. What forgives sin is the word of God that liveth. Say that, George.
The word of God
that liveth. When you begin to handle the word of God. Because what young men will do is also the word of God. But their own word of God is that overcometh. So when the milk of the word you use and you grow out of all malice, out of all God, out of all evil speaking, out of all hypocrisies. That's the make of the discernment. This, because those things, they are shade of evil, that you are not aware that they are evil. True judgments, honey, meek and honey shall eat. Things that were ready to destroy you. You grow out of them. Then the Lord starts introducing you to the word of God, or the seed of incorruptible. And that seed is also there. You are not learning righteousness. The word of God is a learning of righteousness. Because Peter rendered it beautifully in that 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, and this is the word of the Lord, which is preached by the gospel, is preached unto you. Which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the law, which by the gospel is preached unto you. And you, I said, yes, that's the gospel, the archive of righteousness. By the gospel is preached unto you. So when you use that word and keep using that, so that gospel is righteousness that you are learning righteousness. You are learning righteousness. You have judgment is available to learn righteousness. Look at me. It takes judgment for you to know that I need to learn. No, so when somebody came on the pulpit, sir, and said that I am everything that Christ has come to deliver, I just need to acknowledge every good thing that has been done in me. And that person is sincerely saying what he's saying. He will take five lamb and accredit it to himself. That what I just need to do is to keep acknowledging every good thing that has been done in me. That is a sign of faith. That when you are saying that something must work on me, I must submit to God, I must learn the word of God, all those things are not true, it's not accurate, it's error. Sometimes you don't laugh at them. It's an accent of judgment. There's no judgment. More money, okay, ignorance. But the vision of judgment is what makes you to be ready to learn righteousness that the word of God is providing. And that for that beauty to take place within the soul. So those children, little children, I write unto you because your sin have been forgiven. For his name, and his name's sake, which is the first allocation of the word of God. Then you're ready for the second level of the young man. I like talking to young men because you are strong. The word of God abideth in you. That's what I was saying. The word of God abideth in you. That means these ones are gone higher than the little children. They're not just reading the fourth season of the war, which liveth. They do more learning of righteousness of the word of God until it abiding in them. A big amen. A big amen.
Amen.
A big amen.
Amen.
You know, Pastor Tosin was talking yesterday, was using Ephesians chapter 5 to describe our war of righteousness. Amen. So Ephesians is sorry, please, to describe our warfare against our war of righteousness, warfare or war in righteousness. He said, well, our war is that we war with powers. And he said, not atmospheric powers, but firstly the inheritance of power within your soul. Things that power as well as put within a man's soul. So you begin to see that. Then from there you move into principalities. And in two times, you move into power. You move from power, principalities, and rulers of the darkness of this world. Then you move into spiritual wickedness. So wickedness, evil is not one thing. Search for that wickedness. Eh? High places. Not a place. High places. When you go back home, you can go and read Revelation chapter 12. When they talk about Satan, no play, and his place was fine no more. But before his place, there were other stars that had places. And they were all occupying those things for him. They are all spiritual wickedness. Because when you see essence of Revelation, when they broke the sixth sea, is to cast down stars. Some stars fade like a fish lips. When they began to break the seven trumpets, which is Christ's name, they were stars also being falling. Like if one big star fell, one would. They were all falling. But as this one star, they still stay. That it took the man child to be able to bring those forth because they are spiritual wickedness in high places. High places. So what we call evil that we are warring against is not a one-off thing. And all of them, they have their tendency in our soul. I call it tendency, not expression, but tendencies. Tendency, not expression, tendencies. Tendencies. And to God, tendencies, you just need to give it an enabling environment. Tendency, just need to give it an enabling environment. So I write to you, young men, because the word of God abided in you. Is it possible for a man? Because when you keep reading that first John 2, they abiding, you say, I do not say that the Holy Unction. Can that thing be in you? Can it abide? Can truth abide and remain in you? Truth here is not truth as Christ, but truth as the Son of God, truth as the everlasting Father, which are things that should garnish your inward parts. Wisdom that should garnish your inward parts. Those are judgments. It must be abiding in you. A man that the word of God is not abiding in him cannot deal with the wicked one. Can't deal with the wicked one. The first season of the word of God under abiding is that. Can you come to a place where you can abide? Can they find that the word of God is abiding in you? It's abiding. It's not just living. It's abiding. I write to you, little children, because the word of God. Sorry, I write to you, young men, because you are strong. Look at me, everybody. God desire to make you strong. What did I say, church? God desires to make you strong. The word of God wants to make you strong. You move from not that your sins are forgiven you, you're moving to be made strong. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong. They make yourself strong. You need to be strong against sin. be strong against hell and death. You need to be strong against evil. These are things that the word of God delivers to the soul to make it so strong. That strength is the strength of the word of God. The strength of the seed of God. And the water of the word of God. There, you move into, you are not only strong, you are an abider. Amen. You can abide. Amen. The word of God has made you to be an abider. Amen. That's the thing that they were talking about what Jesus was in Hebrew. The heavens and the earth are the works of the hand. But that remains. And their ear cannot fail. Those are states of who the Lord is. But thy, O Lord, thy remainest, and thy ears shall not fail. Those are character of abiding, character of being strong. That the word of the Lord wants to make it so. Because the devil, the evildoer, which is called the devil, is a being that trusts that he can break anything. He's so convinced that he can break anybody. That you can do righteousness. So that was the cry of Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, a man can be doing righteousness. And if he is doing righteousness, suddenly he just turned. The Bible said, all his righteousness shall be forgotten. And if a man has been doing iniquity, and he turned and do righteousness, his righteousness shall remain. All the iniquity shall be forgotten. Because of, it is not enough, that man is not strong enough. But thank God for the ministry of the Son of God that is possible for a man to do righteousness. And thank be to the Lord for the word of God, which is the strong meat of the world. So I want to make you strong. Yeah. That's the strong meat of the world. Is to make sure you are strong and you are coming to a place where you can abide. Yeah. And when you are discovering, this thing is love also. It's love. It's love. You are describing that in Romans. You know, in 1 Corinthians? He has given to the poor. He has dispersed abroad. And his righteousness remains. Some years ago, Brother Busi came to us. I'm talking about, he was teaching about 1 Timothy chapter 6, the place of distributing, communicating. And you see Galatians says, Talking about communicating, distributing, and what you sow to the Spirit, and you live life everlasting. You can't say I'm hearing corruptible word of God, and you are not giving. You want to feel that? No. In fact, in that place, you move into the place of distributing, communicating. Because all those things are righteousnesses that abideth. I'm talking about interpretation when you say, and the word of God abideth in you. Don't just say, oh, it's abiding in me. No. When I abandon you, is that you are, is that you have become so, he said, the liberality of your soul. A liberal soul that I made fat. Which is the place of the word of God. The word of God, the that liveth and abideth forevermore. It's in this season that when the wicked one comes, that you can overcome. A man that is not strong and abide, can overcome the wicked one. We knew when the wicked one came to Eve in the garden, flood them. That wicked one is the serpent, which is cunning, it deception, it sedition. God wants to easily move you away from the word of God. These are men that must be in shape before God can commit the law into them. This is how you must be before you can take the law. And you use the law to make covenants. If on the law you find testimony, and the last lap of prophecy. And this is where the major work, difficult work lies. This is where the major work lies. In this reason, because this, if these are where majority of people get discouraged. This is where people get discouraged. Because you are dealing with the wicked one. But the remaining, the law of God, are the things you are going to use to overcome the dragon. But I want you to know that we must be built a building of judgments for the purpose of learning righteousness and for the purpose what, of overcoming the wicked one. This is a man that can overcome the wicked one. A man that can overcome all the wiles of the devil. Say all the wiles of the devil. These are the arrangements of that man. A man that is strong and abiding. He can overcome all the wiles of the devil. All the wiles of the devil. Because that man is a keeper of the commandment of God. Because what the word of God will give to you as commandment of God. Psalm 103 from verse 20. Bless the Lord, his angel that excel in strength, that do his commandment, acting unto the voice of his word. Your name. They're talking about angel here, and this is what where Satan came from. Word. So Satan is a word being. He was a fallen word being. Word of God. A type of the word of God. Not the new creation order, but the former creation order that corrupted and became old. I'm praying, but that we, by reason of judgment that we are listening, we are going to exercise ourselves in learning righteousness. Amen. Man, the new year will be a year of this will be full of young men. I said, this store will be full of young men. Amen. Young men that are strong. Amen. I said, young men that are strong. Amen. Stronger than all the wise of the devil. Amen. That every devil throw at you, they bounce back. Amen. There used to be a snug gun in those days, a few years ago, a man are bouncing. That every Satan throw at you, what? They bounce back. Amen. Every Satan wants to move you away. You want to be moved away. Because you are strong. And you are abiding. I say you'll be an abider. I say you'll be an abider. When you are like that, you are an abider in the house. And I shall abide in the house of the Lord. You shall abide in the house. Where you are no longer being taken away. Where you have gradually become a pillar. And when nothing will move you. I said nothing will move you in the name of Jesus. When they are celebrating Thanksgiving next year, and you are wearing your belt and you are doing your Thanksgiving, pastor will be celebrating that God have raised men that are strong and men that are abiding. You know how to abide, because you need to be like this for you to be able to know how to abide in the laws. Because you can't move to the reason of the law and you transgress it. There's no, because you are breaking a law, you become a transgressor. That's why they want to make sure that you have this kind of frame, the frame of strong and what and abiding. Because by the time they move you into the law, covenant of covenant, you cannot be a covenant breaker, you cannot be a truth breaker. Those things are dangerous zone that there's no longer occasion for repentance. So they want to make sure you are ready for the law. You are ready for the covenants. You are ready for testimony. Because when you move to those zones, there's no room of repentance. You find those things we are talking about in Hebrew 10. That's why everyone is so particular in this season. That season is most difficult. The law is out, but that's the most difficult. Because what happened? What people ran away from? Pastor, sir. People ran away from the voice of word on Mount Zion. That the word should not be spoken to them. That's where they ran away from. They said they cannot endure it. They ran away from the voice of the word. They brought the voice of the word to down the mountain before they started ministering the speaking of the blood, the voice of the blood. It was not the mountain, they ministered the blood. But they ran away from the word, so they couldn't endure it. So God gave them a lower operation written upon the table of stone. But if you can endure the season of the voice of the word, we are going to be made strong. Amen. They will make you to abide. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So that when you move into the season of the law, you will do it graciously. Amen. And faithfully. Amen. I pray for everyone here. I say none of you will die. Amen. You won't die in your soul. Amen. You won't die in your body. Amen. We declare the air come to the air. We declare preservation. Amen. I pray for this church that this church is going forward. Amen. Grace. Amen. Mercy. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I pray for your pastor and your mother in this house. And the Lord will strengthen them. The Lord will help them. And grace them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Honor you, Son of God. In Jesus' name we are praying.
That was a lot of labor. Can we thank Jesus? Let's just thank him in Thanksgiving. Let's just appreciate Jesus. Father, we thank you. Just let Thanksgiving flow from your heart. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We are grateful. Thank you for using your servant and compressing a lot in a short time. Such a work of righteousness. We are grateful. Thank you for reestablishing the things that you have taught us, making us see it again, and showing us your intention for us. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Let's have a seat. He labored from charity to the climax of the living God, which is the Word of God. So, and that's a very sensitive zone to navigate. I'm using the epistles of John and Peter to express that journey. Starting from, brotherly kindness to charity. Brotherly kindness is actually the beginning of charity, but charity is climaxed. When you have done brotherly charity, well, then you now begin to love God or fear God. When you see in Malachi chapter 4, when it says, "For those that have feared my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing." So it is those that have, they have done well with brotherly kindness. I remember that this year, majorly my Tuesday teaching focused majorly around Christ and love of the brethren. It's just for us to understand. Love of the brethren is a burden in itself. Yes, if you don't navigate that bend, we can't respond to the living God well. Very important, because the journey of the everlasting kingdom is an increase in fervency of love. Yes, so pastor did a good job. Then the building of the Word of God. The Word of God is actually the habitation, it's the house of God. Yes, and it takes time. You see, to build God's house, you have to do it according to pattern. The systematics of building the habitation of God is according to everlasting righteousness. You have to do it well. So the teaching of righteousness in the revelation of the Word of God, in framing us so that we can become an habitation that they can now put. They can put the law inside. Can we say amen? Amen? It's a whole lot of work. So we see that the epistle of John and Peter, particularly the first epistle of John, does a lot of work in interpreting that. To make a house, to build a house that is sinless. Pastor, thank God for touching that area. So pastor talked about overcoming the wicked one that is a serpent. Because you have to overcome the wicked one that is a serpent. Then you move to overcoming the wicked one that is a dragon. That is what you now... you move from sinlessness to deathlessness. So he did a lot of work in teaching us how the Word of God makes us sinless. When you overcome the wicked one that is a serpent, you have dealt with sin. Then you now have to now... Because in chapter 3 of 1 John, you are now moving into the era of dealing with debt. And that's where you now need the law. So the purpose of the law is to generate covenant and testimony. Covenant, testimony, then a climax in prophecy. So pastor did a lot of work. I'm just trying to summarize his labor. God used him to show us the precept of journeying in the everlasting kingdom. You know what I want to beg us is... Let us do well with charity. Yes, sir. Because you will not be able to understand this thing well. If you can't do that charity thing well, we have to love each other. Take me to that place where pastor touched when he said giving to hospitality and all that. You know, I just feel I should pastorally talk around that, because that is the ground for you to be able to understand this thing. What pastor did was to show us the precept of how they built the house of God that makes you formidable against sin. And because they will now begin to interpret, they will now begin to show us the way. But we have to be faithful in keeping charity laws. And this is where our war is as brethren. You cannot afford to see your brother as a church member. They are your tickets to enter into God. If you start seeing it, you say, that church member. You know, there's a way you describe people. That's my church member. I want to shush. One shall shush you. Once you don't handle them well, there is no, the Son of God will not appear to you. And that is where the fear is. It means that there is a way the Lord wants us to flock and do church. Our love work, our charity must generate so much momentum to call the Son of God to appear to us. Yes. So I like the place where Pastor was teaching about ye as lively stones. So they were already a lively stone church, because the Son of God will appear as a living stone to lively stones. So, and I like what he said, they were already generating spiritual sacrifices. Those sacrifices are love sacrifices. The highest sacrifice, acceptable to God. So what God is going to accept as a sacrifice that will provoke the Son of God to appear to us as a living stone, they are all love sacrifices. Sacrifices of brotherly kindness unto charity. Yeah, where we have mastered it so well. This is our war. This is where we have to war. And make sure that we fully put on the dominion of Christ, so that the Son of God can begin to instruct us further in how to live. So, the Lord is going to demand next year that we are more passionate in our love work. Can we say amen? Amen. Oh, you are not answering me well, Lord. We are preparing for Reverend Busui. We are still going to 3, you know. We'll give Reverend, we have to give him, he's an elder, we have to give him time. So we'll be stretching you this evening, okay, today. But I'm just preparing your mind before he comes. I think we still have to labor around charity, love again. We did that this year to a measure. I remember Tuesday teaching. I think I began to teach on Christ. You know, I did that. Then I entered towards love of the brethren. Then we stopped before we entered into daily prayer. So I think that maybe we'll have to pick it up again. Because that is where the love, that is how you have breakthrough into the everlasting kingdom. That's how you have breakthrough. If not, you don't have breakthrough. So, the way I see it is that our love is still cold. It's not fervent. Our love is not, you know, cold love. It's not fervent. Pastor was talking about it. Yes, there are many times that, you know, as a shepherd, you are not like you want to give up on people. You know, but you just want to leave people. Not because of them, but because of the warfare. At times, in trying to make sure that you don't break. So, but at times, many times, the Lord will come and give you commandment that don't leave this person. Jesus loves us passionately, and is serious that all of us come into this inheritance of life. So, I want to beg us, please, let us labor in that area of our what of love for one another. When we do so, the door to this will get clearer. Can we all say amen? What did I say will happen? The door towards these things will get clearer. The understanding of the ministry of the Son of God to come and build us into an habitation of God, that frame is actually the word of God. Actually is righteousness that frames you to, is actually meekness, really. If you're going to look at it, it's actually a frame of meekness that can now take the law. So you need some meekness, Pastor Thompson, to take law. So Pastor also divided further the little children. John did that. Little children, young men, fathers. The little children, you have babes, then you have little children. then you have what? You have young men, then you have fathers. So the climax of this is that God wants to make all of us fathers. Can we say God wants to make all of us fathers? And the fathers are actually the least, because in the everlasting kingdom, as you are growing older, you are actually growing younger. So those fathers are the ones that eventually will be privileged to be caught up to God and his throne. So I believe that you need a father to war the dragon. You need fathers. So those fathers are not ordinary men. They are those that have the ability to be able to have wisdom to be able to overcome the wicked one that is a dragon. So I believe that a time will come when we have church of fathers. Amen. I'm not hearing your amen. Amen. I believe these are the miracles of this work. That in the years to come, 10 years, 15 years, we'll have churches of fathers, elders. We'll have those that are fathers, that can call fathers in our midst. Not because of natural age alone, but because they have aged in righteousness. They have aged in righteousness. So this is the work. So we want to thank Pastor Thompson for that labor. Can we appreciate him again? Thank you, Pastor. A whole lot of labor. You are not doing it well. You are not doing it well.
Words are spirit. Words is life has come unto you. Now is the season to walk in the things spoken. For more messages, visit our website at www.facetagate.org. Stay blessed.